Welcome, everyone. And we have our panelists with us today. How are you, everyone?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's find out who is here today to be with us. It's very nice that we have our teacher Lois with us because Lois is from Canada.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be part of this panel today and this article for our advanced program.
Now, Lois, you've been in this area, and you've driven on some of these roads, and you know all about this place, don't you?
Yeah, this is a place that is familiar to me because my husband and I lived in British Columbia for almost a decade. So we saw a lot of British Columbia and Alberta while we lived there.
So we can ask you a lot of questions today, can't we?
Well, I kind of hope so.
And then we have Pauline and Joshua here today. Pauline, what do you think of this article on page 28 that we're going to talk about today?
I'm really interested in it. I'm from Montana, which is right below Canada.
Do you have wolves in Canada?
We have wolves in Yellowstone National Park. Some people really love the wolves there. Other people don't so much. It can be a controversial topic. So I'm really curious to hear about the wolves in Canada.
And what about you, Josh?
I'm also very interested in this topic today. So I grew up in Washington State, which is also just right below the border of Canada. So
we're
all
from that area, right?
Super close because it's a big part of the world. But we also had wolves in our area, and I was very active outdoors. So this is a topic that I'm very interested in.
Really, the wolves are many, many places in the States. And Oregon has a lot of wolves, and some people are all against the wolves because they, you know, eat the sheep or the cattle and so forth. But wolves are part of nature, and wolves are really very important into the whole overall environment, aren't they?
I think they consider wolves to be a keystone animal. So they really, a healthy wolf population reflects a healthy general population for the entire environment.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people have never seen wolves. You know, wolves, it looks like great big dogs. They remind you of dogs. But just don't go up and pet them because they're wild animals.
They're not dogs.
Definitely not dogs.
Absolutely. Yep, it's really important all of us from the States know, because we're from areas that do have a large wildlife population. We know it's really important to respect and have a healthy fear of wild animals. So you don't have to be terrified if you see a wolf or if you were to see a bear if you were in Yellowstone National Park. But at the same time, we want to respect the fact that they're wild, that they can be dangerous. So you don't want to be running after them or putting your child on the back of a moose for a picture or something.
That's right.
Or trying to get up close so you can get a selfie.
Up close and personal.
Exactly. And what Doris had mentioned is so true, and also Josh did about the health check of wolves. My husband was involved in that in Canada. So it was also a Western province. British Columbia, that we're going to be talking about, is a Western province, and so is Manitoba, where my husband did health checks of wolves. And they had to make sure he was a pilot of an airplane. They would take the airplane up, and they would see what the wolves were eating. I always thought they were doing a wolf count. They were actually seeing what the wolves were eating. Because if they ate in this part of Canada, the caribou, not the elk, if they ate the caribou and the heavy hip bone of the caribou, it meant they were healthy. And they wanted to make sure about this because then they could tell if the wolf's jaws were strong enough to eat heavy bone. Then they knew the pack would have no health problems.
Oh,
isn't that incredible? So I actually contacted my husband this morning before we went on the radio to get the information about wolves because it's all part of this article today.
I don't want them to eat people bones.
No.
But we have to be a little careful with any wildlife, even if they're so cute, like squirrels and there's so many different things. Well, but we have to remember that we have to respect it, and even bears. And sometimes, you know, we feel that they're after us. They really aren't. They're afraid of us just like we're afraid of them. But sometimes they have to attack people to protect themselves, don't they?
Exactly. And like Doris and I were talking about in her office, you never go and want to, and, you know, desire to play with a polar bear because they actually stalk humans. So they're ones that you really do have to stay away from.
Well, any bear, I mean, you know, any wild animal, actually, you have to be careful because they don't know what you're thinking.
Mm.
And we're going to talk about this golden wolf walk. So why would anybody want to walk with wolves? Well, Yvette, as we know, she's one of Wright's travel articles. She and her husband do a lot of traveling. He takes the pictures, she writes the articles, and they all like all these kind of adventures. Mm. And this is rather unusual. However, don't plan to do a wolf walk if it's not very well scheduled like this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it on your own.
Right. You say, Doris, they need a guide, right? They need a guide for this.
Right. Okay, so this article is on page 28. And where are we going to start out today?
So we're going to get up and personal with wolves today, or at least hear about how Yvette and her husband did. We're starting on the top of page 28, left-hand column. And let's hear what she did. Golden Wolf Walk. Getting up close and personal with wolves. Okay, in the pictures, it looks like I'm being licked by a dog. But that's no dog. It's a 100% gray wolf in the woods, walking with my friends and me. It was part of our morning at Northern Lights Wolf Center, just outside Golden, British Columbia, Canada. Only the first of our great winter adventures in the area. Shelley Black and her husband Casey have been raising wolves for 18 years. Their aim is not only rescuing abandoned wolf cubs, but educating the public. There's so many misconceptions about wolves, Casey told us. For one, they really don't lurk around woods just waiting to eat people. They'd rather avoid people for the most part. But thanks to a lot of fiction where hapless folk are forever being devoured, there is an ingrained public fear of wolves. There are many wolf rescue education centers around North America, but only a handful that let you actually walk with the wolves and interact with them. And so, we gathered one late winter morning at Northern Lights Wildlife Wolf Center to learn, prepare, and walk. All right, so this is going to be an interesting article. Can you imagine being licked by a gray wolf?
Well, it looks like you're licked by a dog. If you think about it like a dog, it's okay. But, you know, even some people are afraid of big dogs that come up, though.
That's
true. You better be careful of them sometimes, too.
I think I've run into a lot of people who really are a little bit skittish with dogs. And so, and you can understand why, especially if they're not used to dogs.
Right.
Some dogs can be very big, but these animals, these wolves, beautiful animals, very, very large. So we also refer to the gray wolves here as timber wolves, and they are big, big animals. And you can see by some of the pictures in the article, looking at the wolves compared to the humans, that they really are impressively
sized. Yes, that's true. And, you know, there they are walking with them. It must be kind of exciting to do that, though, don't you think, Josh?
Oh, it has. I would, in a heartbeat, I would do this. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that this is not walking with wild wolves.
No.
These are obviously wolves that have been raised in captivity since they were pups, very used to humans, but I would do this in an instant. I love animals. I especially love dogs, and the chance to be able to do this would just be amazing.
Wouldn't that be fun? But be sure you go to a place like this. Now, what is the name of this place?
So the place where these wolves have been raised is the Northern Lights Wolf Center, and it's located in British Columbia, Canada, like we were saying earlier today, and it's right outside of a small city named Golden.
Right. I went and looked it up, Pauline. I went and looked it up in my atlas last night. I wanted to bring out my big, large atlas to check, and it's not very far from Yoho National Park, Glacier National Park, and really not that far from Banff National Park. So a lot of people will go there who are residing or visiting Calgary, or some people might take a trip like my husband and I did for a few days or a week's vacation out to this area.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really popular area.
It
Glacier,
Banff,
those are all
area.
Very right. well-known national mm-hmm. parks, at least in from my part of the world. Mm-hmm. Those are well-known.
I also, growing up in Washington, Banff and Glacier were big destinations
yes.
because they're beautiful, wonderful, large parks, and it's easy to get out there and really enjoy some very unique wilderness.
So we all like the outdoors. You can tell that. We're from the Northwest. We enjoy that. And nowadays people live in so many big cities all over the world, especially in Asia, Shanghai, and all these different places. They kind of like to get out sometimes where they can see nature. So they like places like this, mm-hmm. don't they?
They do, yeah.
Right.
And it's nice to know that this unique place is located close by to some other attractions, so you could really make a full vacation out of it.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting how many people, like, you know, we've been talking about it, go visit Lake Louise and go visit Banff, and then they go, well, you know, it's not that far to cross the border and go into British Columbia, so let's go there. And then people decide, hey, I'd like to go see some wolves, so they can go to the Northern Lights Wolf Center.
Right. Well, this lady, Shelly Black, and her husband, Casey, they've been raising these wolves for 18 years, so they know what they're doing.
Yes, that's a long time to put into anything, but I do say I respect that they have put that much time into this kind of endeavor. I don't think it's the kind of thing you should go into unless you're willing to really dedicate your life to it, which it seems like they have.
And see what it says in line 10. What did it say there?
So the aim is not only rescuing abandoned wolf cubs, but educating the public.
Now
right?
That shows you why they're there, right?
Yeah, and I think this is an important thing because, like, they continue on to say in the article that there are so many misconceptions about wolves, which is an idea which is wrong because it's based on a failure to understand something, or maybe you're coming at it from a perspective that doesn't really quite have accurate information.
Right? So they want to, they're not just rescue them, but they want to educate people about them. And I think that's very important.
Right, right. I have been to some of these animal rescue places in Canada or education centers as an adult, as a teenager and child as well. And it really helps you to understand why a particular animal is so important. Like, they really do tell you, okay, this is what happens if wolves disappear. Or this is what happens if the pack of wolves in your part of the province or state are unhealthy. What will happen? And then it gives you a feeling almost of ownership, like you care now. If you live in the state of Washington or Montana or British Columbia or Alberta, you're going to care.
Mm-hmm. And so that we're going to be educated now for all of us, wherever we are in the world. We're all getting this education, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important for us to, you know, move past this misconception, really, with any wild, semi-dangerous animal, that just because they pose some dangers, it doesn't mean that they are bad, that we're going to label them as something that is entirely bad.
Well, this word misconception is a good word. It's a bad thing. But what is a misconception?
Well, you know, I think the real core of this idea of misconception is that you really have a wrong idea because you're coming at it from either not having correct information or you're forming an opinion that's not based on facts.
Right. A concept is what your idea is, what you think of. And if it's a misconception, you have the wrong picture of it.
And one of the pictures they say that people have in their head comes from movies and fictional stories of, they say, hapless folks, so unlucky people wandering around in the woods being stalked, being followed by these wolves that are lurking in the woods who are just out to attack them. And these people are telling us that's really not the correct perception to have. Wolves aren't out in the woods just waiting for a human to arrive for them to eat. They are doing their own lives and would be perfectly happy never seeing a human being.
We have misconceptions about so many things. Like, you see this about the sharks, like they're sitting out there waiting to go out and grab people, and because of the movies, and they get scared. And we have misconceptions about people that we don't understand. We think they're going to do something to us. We have a lot of misconceptions because we don't have knowledge. So we have to read up on things and keep informed so we know what the truth is.
And support education centers. So like this who are specifically aimed at allowing people to educate themselves so that they can let go of their misconceptions.
So remember that. The wolves aren't just lurking around waiting for you to come so they can grab you. That's not what their whole life is about.
And it's, you know, I think in a lot of popular literature, wolves and sharks, like you mentioned, are the two predators that really get a bad name. They're really being presented as these evil animals that just can't wait to eat you.
But bears too sometimes.
And bears too sometimes, exactly. But it's really, that is not the case. That truly is a misconception.
Right. That's why it's good to study this.
Absolutely. So that it doesn't get ingrained into you, right? So ingrained means just deeply cemented into your belief system, or just we talk about ingrained as just being strongly taking hold of your belief or your thoughts. So we don't want misconceptions to be ingrained in your mind.
And, you know, and here the way they use it is that it's a conception that you don't want to get rid of. You know, if it's ingrained in your head, then you really are going to be resistant to letting it go. And what we want to see here is that you let go of your misconceptions.
Well, it says that they like to avoid people, and I think that's true with bear and other animals. I know my mother used to go out and pick wild blackberries, not very far from where we lived. It wasn't way out in the country, but there were woods there. And she saw this big bear, and the bear looked at her, and she looked at the bear, and he ran the other way, and she ran the other way. They were both, you know, kind of afraid of each other. The bear wasn't out to get her.
Probably wanted the blackberries.
I think they were after the same
blackberries. It wasn't a grizzly. Grizzly, you wouldn't have your mom anymore. The grizzly would have come after her.
But, you know, that's true, though, about bears. They're often afraid of people. Yeah. They really are.
They're often afraid of people.
They see people, and they run. And that's the same way with a lot of animals. They're not after you. That's not their whole goal, is to find people and eat them, actually.
Many animals, I think, would have the same reaction. Most animals would rather flee than fight, unless, of course, they feel like they're in danger and that's their only
option. Right. So anyway, thanks to this, you know, it says that there's a lot of fiction about these people that just happen to get caught by them and being eaten or devoured, and this makes what we call ingrained public fear. Ingrained is something that's just part of you, and it's part of you. You just can't get away from it. I think this. I feel this way. So let's examine why we feel that way. That's a good article, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's nice to know that there are a lot of wolf rescue and education centers around North America that are trying to educate and help people move past those fears. Mm-hmm. Although it says only a handful, so not very many, of those centers around North America will actually let you walk with wolves and interact with them, which is what these authors got to do. So this was a really special center they went to.
So that's why Yvette and her husband Bill went there. They wanted to learn more about it and talk about it. So should we read more about them?
Yeah, let's hear about how that walk went.
Meeting new friends. Scrappy Dave and Flora, our wolves that day, had come from a zoo that had too many wolves. They were brought to the center in Golden when only a few days old, so they are totally used to people. They lived in the house with us for the first several months, said Shelley. But they also took the cubs out 3 or 4 times a day. This way, they bonded not only with people, but the other half dozen wolves as well. When not out in the woods on wolf walks, the wolves live in acre enclosures, 2 each to an enclosure. But these are wild animals. For that reason, Shelley and Casey explained, the walk is totally on the wolf's terms. We don't approach them, but if they come up to you, you can touch them.
So what about these people? Scrappy Dave and Flora, that's their wolves, that's what their names were. It's funny they gave them names, but, you know, we give our pets names too, don't we? Mm-hmm. And they've been there a long time.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear how they came to that center. They said that they came from a zoo, which at first I thought they must be older wolves that had for some reason been given to them, but actually it says they were brought to the center when they were just a few days old, so as baby pups, or I think they use the word cubs here, they came to the Northern Light Centers and they raised them from babies. So they must have a really strong bond with these animals that they've raised from just tiny size.
Like,
so I'm sure
your,
I would give them names if I did that.
Yeah, like your own dogs that you raise from the time they're small, you know,
mm-hmm.
part of the family.
Especially if they live together in the same house for so long.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I had a similar dog to these wolves, and I actually thought my dog was a wolf because it came to us in our family. And I was in my backyard with a three-year-old and a newborn, and all of a sudden this dog approached, stood up, came towards me, put its paws on my shoulders, and I thought it was a wolf.
Oh.
It ended up being a husky, but not full husky.
Mm-hmm.
Big blue eyes scared the life out of me, but it ended up being the most incredible pet.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
And we called her Duchess.
Nice.
So we gave her a name, too.
Mm-hmm.
So not Scrappy Dave or Flora, but Duchess.
Very nice.
Well, it tells us here, you know, in lines 7 and 8 something, they took the cubs out 3 or 4 times a day. So they took them on walks, and they kind of bonded with them, and you know, because they were just pets, actually, weren't they?
Right, but I like that they are really intentional about making sure that they also bonded with other wolves and the environment that they are from naturally, so bringing them outside and getting to know the wolves as well.
That's important, too, that they know what it's like to be a wolf. Too.
Right, right. And, you know, it was surprising to me when I read, but they also took the cubs out 3 or 4 times a day. I always thought wolf babies were called pups. I didn't think they were called cubs, but our author here has the word cubs for these. So that was new to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, they say went on this walk, and they said it was totally on the wolf's terms. What does that actually mean?
Oh, that's a good question. On someone's terms means that you're doing it their way. So you don't get to decide exactly where you're going to walk or how far away from you they're going to be. You get to let them control the walk.
So you don't see them and you go up and touch them. You wait till they come to you.
It's very important and really good advice, right, that you should never approach wildlife on your own, that you should let them sort of decide what they're going to do and what they're comfortable with, because you certainly don't want to make a large animal uncomfortable.
Well, sometimes they have to look you over a little bit and things like that. You know, that's true even though with little children and all. Some people go up to some little kids and they scare them and the babies cry and they go up and they want, oh, wait and let the kids see you and look at you a little bit and they can come up and talk to you. So we have to be careful not to approach things that when they don't understand.
I think that's a good point. And also just in everyday life, you know, if you're trying to get to know a young child
right.
who isn't familiar with you,
let
be
them get
slow,
to see you a little
easy,
bit.
Mm-hmm. Let them get to know you first, right?
Right.
And going back to the article, I think it's just a really nice reminder, even for these wolves that were raised by hand, we would say, from the time they were just babies in the home with these people, even then, they have very clear rules about how to respect them as a wild animal. And these are the most tame of wild animals you would probably ever encounter. So it's just a good reminder, even the most tame of the wild animals require that kind of respect, and then all the more so if it's a completely wild animal.
Well, they say that if you're afraid of an animal, they can kind of feel that fear.
Yeah, they
I know that's true with
yeah.
horses and other
yeah.
animals, too. If you're afraid of them, then they, you know, they react differently.
They
and
do,
so,
and I do know that all animals really have that same sort of
right?
sense where they
yeah.
can pick up on emotions of others around them.
Right. We were camping not far from this area, a little bit west of this area in Golden. And all of a sudden, a deer buck, which is a full-grown male deer, shows up on our campsite. So, you know, they have the full antlers.
Sure.
So we had 2 young children at the time, my husband and I, and Michael just goes, go get some lettuce and apple. So I went and got a head of lettuce, and I got a whole apple. We all fed it to this big buck. And then it was fine, kind of looked at us, real royal-like, and then just left.
Give them to
That's amazing.
Well, what about if this, like this picture they have of this wolf just coming up and getting on the guy's neck? That would scare you a little bit, wouldn't it?
It would scare you a little bit. And you know, this is obviously not something you'd run into normally in the wild.
No.
You wouldn't have a wild wolf coming up to you like this. But in this particular instance, having a big animal like this coming up to you, it's very important to stay calm, right? And let the animal
it's
sort of...
fun in the end.
Fun in the end,
it
right?
Is.
Yeah, and I think in the end, I think we're coming to a really nice point in our conversation here that says we just need to have a balance, right? We need to have a healthy fear and respect, but not a crazy fear, a panic. We can be calm and enjoy nature as long as we're doing it in a safe and respectful way.
And wolves, I think it's very good to be informed about them. This has really helped me because when we used to camp and we always camped in tents, we would hear the wolves at night, and I would actually be quite scared.
Ooh.
And I remember saying, okay, I'm fine with hearing the wolves. I don't ever want to see a wolf. Mm-hmm. I would always say that. But now this article about Golden Wolf Walk really helps me. It kind of teaches me a little bit more about, you know, you so often just think of a wolf as a really wild, awful dog,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like that.
So I hope that everybody that's listening and reading this lesson will get the same feeling from this, that we respect them, but we're not that much afraid of them. And we appreciate all these different animals. There's so many beautiful creatures in the world. We just know how to treat them. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Exactly right.
All right. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time for today, but if you're still interested in more, tomorrow we have more for you. So come back tomorrow and we'll talk some more about the wolves there in British Columbia. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.